Hello, you're listening to the Expert HR podcast on pay forecasts for 2019. I'm Laura Merrilees, and joining me today is Sheila Atwood, Managing Editor for Pay and HR Practice here at Expert HR. So Sheila, I understand the past year finally brought some good news on the pay front.
That's right, yes. So Expert HR monitors pay settlement levels. So that's the increase to their pay that employees receive typically at an annual review. What we found over the past year is that the median or headline rate for those increases was 2.5%.
How does that compare with previous years then?
Well, this is where some of the good news comes in. Expert HR looks every month at pay rises over the last 3 months. And on that basis, we've seen pay awards at a 2% level for the best part of 7 years. A little bit of movement around that, some months a little high, some months a little lower, but generally staying at 2%. So now we've seen this shift to 2.5%, half a percentage point higher since January this year. So really a positive tick up in the level of awards.
What's driven employers to make these higher increases, do you think?
Well, it is worth breaking down the figures and looking at them by different sectors. So if I start with the public sector, now here we know that we had several years of austerity. We had pay freezes and lower rises for the lowest paid, and then we had this public sector pay cap where increases had to average no more than 1%. That cap has now been lifted, and we're seeing some higher increases coming through. Now, we record the increase to the lowest paid adult rate. In the public sector, this does affect our figures in some way because a lot of the awards are focused on the lowest paid and they do get higher increases. But overall, we've seen the increase in the public sector move up from a 1% average to a 2% over the past year.
And when we look at the private sector?
They've had a stronger year in terms of pay awards. So if we look at manufacturing and production employers, their headline award was 2.6% over the past year. Within their particularly high and strong awards in the utilities sector, the construction sector was a little bit lower at 2%, one of the lowest in that sector. If we move to the services arm of the private sector, a little less optimistic, a little less buoyant, 2.3% was the going rate over the past year. The finance sector, the transport industry had higher awards, but on the flip side, industries such as hospitality, not-for-profit, they had the lowest increases of around 2%.
But they're still planning to increase pay.
That's right, yes. So the majority said that there would be pay rises over the coming year. Some are unsure at this stage. We look to the period to the end of August next year. So there is a cohort for whom we're a little too far in advance for them to make a decision at this stage. What's really encouraging is only 5% are planning pay freezes, which if we look back over the years of data that Expert HR has, that's about average.
Does that mean we're going to see 2.5% continue over the next year?
Almost. The figure that employers are telling us is 2.4%, so just fractionally below that 2.5% we've seen over the past year. What's also interesting is that half of the forecast that we received were between 2 and 3%, so really quite tightly bunched around that 2.4% median.
And is that figure the same across the private sector?
That's a good question, because as we talked about last year, differences by industry, there are again differences over the next year as well. Again, the manufacturing and production employers are more optimistic, looking at about 2.5%. The engineering and metal sector comes out high at 3%, construction down at 2%. In the services arm, a little less optimistic, looking at awards of around 2%. But within that, the information and communication sector, for instance, is forecasting a 3% pay rise over the next year, but hospitality and not-for-profit are down at 2%.
Given that economic growth is pretty subdued at the moment, and the future under Brexit is obviously pretty unclear as well, why are employers nevertheless reasonably optimistic about pay rises?
Well, pay awards are still fairly conservative. If we look back to the pre-recession years, 3 to 3.5% was the going rate for a number of years then. So 2.5% is quite subdued. But there are upward pressures that employers are feeling that are really pushing them to make higher rewards where they can, most notably the labour market.
Okay, so presumably the low unemployment level is a factor then.
It is, yes. There's definitely competition for labour out there. So we asked employers what sort of factors are going to be pushing up the level of pay awards over the next year. And having to match the salaries and the pay rises of others in their industry, their competitors for labour, came out as one of the most important issues mentioned. And this is also linked to recruitment and retention problems where they're competing for labour with those businesses. So really alongside inflation, those are the key factors that employers are going to feel may well push their pay awards upwards.
So you mentioned, Sheila, inflation there. That's key, isn't it, in assessing the real value of pay rises?
That's right, yes. So how far the increase in your wages goes is really determined by how much prices have risen at the same time. Now, if we look at the profile of pay awards and inflation over the years, it's fairly cyclical. One is higher than the other and then vice versa. So based on the expert HR measure of pay awards and retail prices index inflation, we've now hit 2 years where inflation has been higher than pay award levels. So pay isn't rising in real terms. The majority of employers in our survey do say they look at inflation, they take it into account, but actually very few have an explicit link, so they don't say that their pay award will be worth the same as inflation at the time of their pay review.
So employers are going to have to make higher pay awards if they're going to match the increase in prices. Presumably that's not entirely straightforward.
It's not, no, because while there are factors causing employers to look at raising the level of their next pay award, there's also going to be others that are serving as a downward drag. So affordability is the key one of them. And a third of organisations says they just don't have the ability to pay higher increases over the next year. But that may also be linked to some other things they told us about. Pensions, for example, under pensions auto-enrolment, the employer contribution rate rises from 2% to 3% next April. So employers told us that that is impacting on what they can afford on their pay bill. And also Brexit. We know it's uncertain. We don't know how it's going to affect the labour market and the economy. But employers are already telling us they're being cautious because of that in their pay setting.
And is there any evidence of that? Because we've heard about reports that Nissan, the car manufacturer, for example, has delayed its pay award because of Brexit.
That's right. So Nissan employs around 8,000 people in Sunderland, and they have a pay review due to take effect in January, so they'd start talking to their trade unions now. They have put out a release saying that they are not talking yet, and they're going to wait until the economic future business outlook is a bit more certain following Brexit in March. Now, this is something we will keep an eye on. It is the first example we've seen of this. As we start to contact organisations with a January pay review date, we may start seeing more of that. What I should stress is that Nissan are not ducking out of making a pay award. What they're saying is they will delay it and then they will backdate any increase agreed to the January date. And that's something we have seen in the past during recession years. Quite a few employers waited a little while to see what the business outlook was like before making decisions on their pay review.
There's also been commentary on skills shortages being exacerbated by Brexit. Might we see the effect of this, do you think, in pay awards?
Well, if we do, I think it's most likely to result in higher salaries at the recruitment stage, where employers are struggling to fill vacancies, or even in post to try and prevent employees from leaving those skill shortage jobs. Again, this wouldn't be new. For several years now, employers have been telling us they've had to use pay to address their skill shortage areas, quite often specific skills such as professional roles, engineering, IT, that sort of thing. But the possible skill shortages following Brexit may not be limited to those professional jobs. There is concern in the hospitality industry, for example, that they will lose access to a key labour supply. And caring staff are often cited as hard to fill vacancies. And unfortunately, in many cases, those organisations are not in a position to award vastly higher salaries in order to fill those jobs.
Finally, Sheila, in terms of pay rises, we should just mention the national minimum wage. And the rates were announced in the budget earlier this week. They're going to determine the next pay rise for some employees.
Yes, that's a good point. So the government has accepted all the recommendations of the Low Pay Commission. The headlines on this, the national living wage, that's for those employees aged 25 and over, is going to increase by just shy of 5% to £8.21 an hour from next April. The national minimum wage for those aged 21 to 24, that's going to increase by 4.3% to £7.70 an hour. So anyone on those statutory pay fall levels is in line for a more generous increase than we're expecting more generally, which is around 2.4%.
Well, thanks very much, Sheila. You can, of course, read the full results of the pay forecast survey on Expert HR. Well, that brings us to the end of this Expert HR podcast. Thanks for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again next time.